This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley, with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at three. Number one,
Justin Turner, the batter, and he is going to give the Mariners the lead on this ball headed to the corner. Two runs are in. Heading to third is Raleigh. He'll be held up. These will be unearned runs as Kikuchi had to work around an error to start the inning, but runs nonetheless, and Seattle has their first lead 2-1 thanks to the two RBI single by Justin Turner.
Yeah, Justin Turner was Kikuchi's teammate in Toronto a couple months ago, and he gets that big single there. And Sean Dubin has entered the game, and now it is starting to get away from him a bit. Home run to lead off the inning, and now he's given up a double, and it looks like an error as they have another runner here at third base. So it's a now 3-1 lead, and the Mariners are looking to add on more. And this is big for the Mariners. They're still clinging to some wild card hopes, as they're 2.5 back of the last wild card spot. So they need all of these games. But Clint Kikuchi, another good night. His line, 6 innings.
I understand the mistake there, Ron.
Yeah, sorry. 6 innings. 8 strikeouts, 1 walk, and no earned runs there, as you heard Todd talk about that. Had to deal with an error there. Another great outing. And, right, like, he's solidified himself in this rotation as a starter, to me, in the postseason. I'd be surprised if the Astros were to sweep the first two games of the series, he would start game 1. He would start potentially game 3. To me, of the wild card series.
I think nails, absolutely. Obviously, Framber Valdez and I think Hunter Brown obviously have been nails all year. But Kikuchi is right there in the 3 spots. So again, like you said, whether it's game 3 of a wild card series or game one of a division series, either way it goes, that's one of those games belongs to Kikuchi. Either way you slice it, absolutely.
Like I said, we'd have to go a little deeper to see all the trades, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head. That man, I mean, he's just great start after great start after great start. And if the Astros could find a way to come back and win this game, now we'll see. There's no Altuve, and I've heard some people bet the over on runs today. And there's no Altuve, there's no Tucker, there's no Alvarez, obviously. We'll get to that here in a second. Bregman got pulled out of the game quick. So if they could come back and win this, they'd be 10-0 in his starts, which is amazing.
By the way, absolutely amazing. I'm not real comfortable with the whole Bregman situation.
What do you mean?
Being ridiculous?
No, it's not Bregman, but he is. It's being portrayed on social media as if
could be his last home game.
Bingo,
could be. Never know.
So we're gonna orchestrate this thing and pull Bregman out. We're gonna, like, start him and then pull him out early in a game so that everybody can give him a standing ovation, yeah, because he may not be an Astro moving forward.
Well, he is still an Astro for this October. So I mean, you don't got much to gain right now, so just get his, you know, whatever's going on possibly still with that elbow or with his arm, whatever, get him on the bench, let him rest.
Oh, I'm with you on that. Yeah, no, I'm with that. But the thought of orchestrating this so he can have a farewell moment. I mean, come on, man. What are we doing?
Have a good time.
I'm not here for it. Sorry. I'm not here for it. Doesn't sound like Tyler is either. He's leaning heavily into his elbow all of a sudden, started hurting in the third inning.
Yeah, yeah. He's Tyler. Yeah, Tyler. Tyler's. I love it. He is tunnel vision, ready to get for another
laser focused.
God damn it. He's ready to go. Tyler, you good with sitting? Now, we just stumbled upon this, and we'll get back to where we need to get to. But Tyler, are you good with these guys sitting down? All these guys resting.
Ooh, with the way 2024 has been, man, the infirmary they got rolling over there at Minute Maid Park, I'm good with it. I'm not trying to be overly paranoid, but, I mean, this has been the most injury-ridden squad I've ever seen the Astros have. So just don't tempt 2024 anymore. Get them on the bench and let them rest for October.
They clearly are going to have the ability to set their rotation because they already know where they're going, and none of these games really matter for them. But I hear you on that, the injury part. I do think Clint made a good point yesterday. Now, I don't think it was with Yordan, but I don't know if I want Altuve, Tucker, especially Tucker, who ain't had a lot of swings, but Tucker and Bregman and them just going a good clean week off when you know that baseball is such a routine game.
It.
And you will definitely be going against a team that has been fighting
coming
and clawing. Like they like every one of the games matter
Look, I hate it.
I'm cool with today.
I'm sure they're – yeah, today's whatever. I'm fine
today
with
they
that.
Got hammered last night.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Look, I don't care about today, but, like, the thought that the Astros are just going to shelve everybody until the playoffs starts and give them a break, I hate it. I mean, you got a three-game series, man. You drop game one and your ass is in trouble. And I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear TK and Blum talking about, oh, well, you know, it may take these guys a couple of at-bats to get this thing going. No, man.
What is going on?
It is important. It is big-time important how this is handled. And I understand it's an individual basis. All these guys are different. They all see it different. They all feel different. They all can work their way into it. But you can't tell me that as a whole that, I mean, everybody – in the top four, top five holes in this lineup are just going to be shelled for the rest of the season. Can't
there is something to a team who's been playing playoff baseball for a week to a team kind of been chilling.
Yeah.
And then, like, they've been playing at that intensity for a week. We'll see. All right. There are a couple of guys that I don't think will have a choice when they'll return, if they'll return in the regular season. Let's start with Joe Espada in his pregame, giving the latest on Yordan Alvarez.
He was just kind of waiting for the inflammation to go down. But he's definitely walking better today. But the baseball activities were still on hold on those things.
He's talked so much about the swelling being seemingly the biggest problem. Mm-hmm. Has it subsided any since?
I think so. You know, my conversation with him sounded like it was better. And the size of the area, it's not as inflamed as it was yesterday. These changes day to day, and we'll see how he feels, this afternoon. But we're going to keep him here. We don't want to get him on the plane and, get him 30,000 feet up in the air and that thing swell back up. So we're going to kind of keep him here with our great doctors and take care of him.
So he is definitely not playing. He's not even traveling to Cleveland because they don't want him to fly and have swelling in his knee. So we'll see. We'll see. I think it's safe to say, despite how anyone may believe, it feels like he's not going to be 100% when the playoffs come, the way that they're talking about it.
Well, if he can't fly right now they're worried about swelling and a sprained knee from sliding into second with no collision, there's no way he's going to be 100% in a week.
Clint,
I've never it's like I'll be honest with you.
Just focus on the injury and not how it occurred.
Forget how it occurred. These guys are trying to sell us about swelling issues. I look up, and after they win the division for the 42nd time in a row, his ass is on the field. On the field. You're worried about – what do you do? If you have swelling in your – especially your knee or your ankle, what are you going to do? Especially if you got something to do that you're getting paid for. What do you need to do for a few days?
Well, they wasn't jumping.
Dr. Clint in the building. Watch out.
I'm asking you two. What do you do? Tyler, your ass, all the medication you take, the injuries you have.
Hey, my knee's swollen all the damn time.
That was a low blow.
And if you want the swelling to go down, what do? You park your ass on that couch, you put that leg up, and elevate that knee, elevate that ankle.
He can walk around and celebrate.
He can't run on the field. We're worried about swelling, and he can't turn it. But he can walk out on a baseball field with a bunch of guys celebrating. Squatting and taking pictures. Come on, man.
I
walk Disney World with a torn ACL, bro. Like,
you're not Jordan, man. And I'm going to guess, by the way, did it swell?
Yes.
Bingo. There you have it.
Just like Kyle Tucker.
If you've got an injury and you're up walking around after a little measly-ass division-winning game and you're worried about swelling, what are we talking about? Swelling, I can't change the road.
Just like Kyle Tucker went through the handshake line when we knew he clearly couldn't walk.
Yeah, you see his ass, too. That went viral. That video went viral.
It's doable.
Jordan's out there smiling, cheesing.
He's smiling. Doesn't mean his knee's good.
Come on, man. You kidding me?
They won't put him on a plane.
He can't walk with the knee?
Well, this is not good.
He couldn't turn it.
That's right. But he can walk out there and celebrate, but he can't turn it. We're worried about swelling. Can't fly. In a day or so. Come on, man. Get the hell out of here.
All right, Chaz McCormick. We'll finish this off as the spotter gives an update on Chaz McCormick. If you remember yesterday, we told you he took 30 swings. Yesterday, here is the latest on Chaz.
It looked really good. So you just see some outfield drills. He's going to stay back. He's going to face some live BP this weekend. But he's definitely moving in the right direction. He's looking pretty good.
All right, moving in the right direction, looking pretty good. That means absolutely nothing from him. Nothing. Who knows what it means? Who knows? It could be still broken. It doesn't mean anything.
It don't matter. Big Hay done took your spot.
Hey. That's gone. All right. So that is the latest there. We'll keep you updated. The Astros, they trail 4-1 right now in the seventh inning.
What?
5-1.
Hey,
check
Ron,
that. 5-1 in the seventh inning.
This, for anybody out there that likes old Whitcomb, I think it's Shea.
That's his second error.
No, I think you missed one, Chief.
That's his.
I think you missed one.
And he's had others
that's
this
his third?
Year.
I think it's his third.
They think that's his third error?
I mean, they are wearing him out in this seventh inning here, boys.
Make your travel plans back to Sugarland there,
see,
Shea.
This is one of them games where Shea's like, why couldn't Bregman just finish the game, man?
Nah, this might not even get his ass to Sugarland, to be honest with you. But 5-1 right now with multiple errors from Shea Whitcomb. I don't know. He's at least got two.
I think it may be three.
It may be three.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, the Texans, as they kind of return to practice, getting ready for week 4 as they try to rebound against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Here are the main things that we hear. We'll find out more on the injury report. The main things that we're hearing is Joe Mixon, Clint, he is out with an ankle today. He is now day-to-day. Obviously, he didn't practice last week and didn't play. He should talk to the Lord. Damian Pierce.
So should you, Tyler.
Strained hamstring. Word on the street, he's close to returning, but he didn't practice today. And then the interesting one, Clint, and we saw there was some issues towards the end of the game with Tank Dell, but Tank Dell didn't practice, and he has listed as hand and wrist, which we knew, but also ribs. So ribs, hand, wrist, those are the three major ones that didn't practice today. And the Tank Dell one, that one, we talked a little bit about the running back ones. We saw what that looked like without them. I wonder what that looks like if there is something with Tank Dell. You start to take one of those big three receivers out. Now you bring in the John Metchies, and what does that mean? Tank Dell, a guy that I think they probably want to get started and get going. This could be an interesting watch to see if he's out of this game.
Definitely an interesting watch. I mean, to me, Tank Dell's a guy that at the very least you would want to expand his role to get him going. Maybe there's only so much you can do in the offense, which is where I'm at with Tank Dell right now. There's only so many balls to go around. You talk about Nico, you talk about Diggs and Dalton Schultz and whichever running backs back there. There's just so many completions to go around, right? Tank Dell's the guy that I think at this point in time they would like to be expanding his role, whereas they're having to shrink it because of an injury. So, like you said, the good thing is that this staff you know, firmly believes in all these guys, Xavier Hutchinson, John Metchie, all these guys being able to do everything and play every position. And so in terms of having a capable and ready body to throw in there, somebody that you can rely on, this staff is going to have those guys prepared. So hate to see that happen to Tank Dell. I'd love to see them be expanding his role instead of worrying about an injury, but that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, and Clint, to be honest, when you look at Tank, even though he's been the one of the three that's of the three top receivers that's kind of gotten off to a slow start, you're still aware of him, like out there. Like defenses, you understand, one, the gadget stuff clearly also keeps people honest, and he has gotten the bulk of his yardage on the end of rounds, the gadget stuff. But also, you always know down the field he can kind of command some attention. So that is at least different for the offense if he's not there, because I do think defenses pay attention to him, and he puts things in people's minds. So Tank Dell didn't practice today. We'll keep an eye on that moving forward.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, fellas, I did want to update Adam Spolane, who is at the game here. You are correct. Shea Whitcomb has been charged with 3 errors at third base in the 4 innings since Alex Bregman was removed from the game.
Blame it on Bregman. Blame it on Bregman. Shea was having a hell of a year, man. Come out, breakout year, man.
A hell of a year, maybe strong.
For him, for a guy that's just getting flirting with the league, man, getting up there and having some good things. He swung the bat well, played well.
I was just about to say he better go deep, but it looks like he just made an out.
The last thing we're going to remember.
Oh, that's got to be tough, man.
From 2024 for old Whitcomb is, whoo-wee, boy, they charged you up at third base.
I think you put him right back out there tomorrow.
Oh, that's good. Great point.
Send him to that Florida ass Abreu League, man. No, I need to watch this trash as October's getting here. Tyler, hell no.
Tyler,
put him right back out there, my ass.
This is your intensity, Tyler.
I think I could have gotten the lineup today.
Tyler, right now, Tyler is like.
Dude, errors have been a problem for this squad. I'm tired of watching Little League baseball out on the diamond in 2024. Get Shea's ass out of there.
He's like a fighter that's getting close to the fight.
I'm getting all hyped up.
You know they're in bad moods. They're moody as the closer and closer they get to the fight. The closer and closer we get to the postseason.
Restricting myself from sex.
Tyler, you're not gonna do that. Tyler is in that space. It's all right, man. Shea, hey man, we're with you. All right, coming up,
let's, I ain't with you, Shea. Scrub ass.
Damn, man, you might need him. Coming up, CJ Stroud. C.J. Stroud is speaking to the media. We'll have that for you. It's live to NRG. We'll head out there and see what he's got to say as they return to the field after that tough game against the Vikings. C.J. Stroud coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from Pitch 25, thanks to Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. It's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, as it is starting to get some folks falling in here in Edo here at Pitch 25. Come on out, hang out. I see a line developing right here. And if you are in the building, we'll be here till 6 o'clock. You got a chance to win not one but 2 different $50 gift cards to Specs. All you got to do is sign your name, put it in our raffle box. I just see a great family of 3 just sign their names and put it in the raffle box. And a few more are coming. So if you're on your way in, come on out to Pitch 25 here in Edo. Sign your name. It's right out in front as soon as you walk in the door. You can't miss it. A couple of gift cards to Specs. 50 bucks. There's damage that can be done there with 50 bucks. Clinton also. Sagamore Whiskey.
Yeah, Sagamore Rye Whiskey, making it all happen. We got some signature drinks going on here today. The Frozen Orange Crush. Ron, you're a frozen drink guy. The Frozen.
It's frozen?
It's frozen, I believe.
Oh, I got to get that.
It's frozen, man. Was it frozen when we had it at the Westin?
No, I wasn't frozen.
Oh, they put a little twist on it. Sagamore Rye Whiskey, they offer you the Frozen Orange Crush, the American Godfather, and the Cold Fashioned. Come check those out. Again, big shout out to Sagamore Rye Whiskey for making it happen. Also, there'll be some samples being passed around a room here before too long. And so, yeah, come on through, man. Pitch 25 in Edo. The Astros, look, who cares about the score, man? Prayers out to Shea. They clinched the division. Yeah, the only thing to come from today's game, Kikuchi, I'm talking about the pitcher. Kikuchi did a he had another good outing. Yep, that guy. And
that guy did stop and look and say, "Oh man."
And Shea Whitcomb, he got tortured over at third base. So
he's working on three errors.
Once Bregman came out, so say some prayers for him. But come on through and hang out with us here at Pitch 25.
Yeah, please come on, man. This not a fourth, man. It's in his head. It's got to be. So come on out, have a good time, and hang out with us. C.J. Stroud and the rest of the boys back at practice today. Remember, coming up an hour, a little bit over an hour from now, you hear from our guy Brandon Scott. He's going to be on location. And Brandon, I talked to Brandon. Brandon went and got lined up, got a little haircut.
Well, that's about right. That's on brand for B. Scott.
Nowhere around here.
Coming here to fall
in here. Get edged up, get you a good clean haircut, and then come on through and see the people.
So we'll get his thoughts on this week and everything that's going on injury-wise and just overall with the team. But C.J. Stroud, he is speaking here at NRG and gave us the latest on where he is as they get started here on a Wednesday, getting ready for this this matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Here's C.J. Stroud.
So, you know, and that's the job we sign up for. And, you know, Slow has done a good job of just keeping the head down, working. But, you know, we all have faith in him, and we know that he's trying to put us in the best positions, and we got to buy into the system and just as much as he has to call good plays. And, you know, we're it's not a finished product because you add good players on the team, you know. It's a work in progress, and, you know, you don't really get your set, like, football team, I feel, until, like, week five, week six. But, you know, the time is of essence, and, you know, we got to get rolling. But, you know, I have the utmost faith in Slow, and I know that, you know, he's been great, but we got to buy into the system just as much as he got to call great plays. And we know we all grown men. We got to do our jobs. So, you know, we all talk about we got each other's back, and we're going to keep hold each other accountable and have each other back.
I know it's still early in the week, but if Tank can't go, what will this offense miss this week?
It's hard to say. You know, we haven't had to deal with that this year, but, you know, we have other guys that are well equipped, but would we love one of the best receivers in the league to be out there for sure, you know? But, you know, it's always sadly in the league, next man up, got to find a way to win a football game, you know what I mean? So, you know, we're praying for Tank, hope he's okay, and we know that hopefully he's trending up, you know. But whatever happens, we got to be able to try to win.
Take a couple more. How long does it take you to move on? Because I've seen, D'Amico said different players handle it different. Some people want to feel the loss. Some people want to move on immediately. How long does it take you? Like from Minnesota to getting back to Houston to get over it?
I would say probably right after that next day, the next Monday, watching the film, and, you know, I'm learning from it and I'm moving on. You know, it's not, I think the NFL has taught me it's not somewhere where you can just sulk in your sorrow and feel bad for yourself. You know, it's all about moving on and getting the next win. So I'm actually kind of tired of talking about the game, to be honest. So it is what it is, you know, like they got us, they kicked their butts. Kudos to those guys. It's week four now. We're going to move on. We're going to play, you know, against the Jaguars, a good team, and we're going to focus on that.
You kind of talked a little bit about Josh Allen Hines and his ability and what he does brings to the defense. What makes him stand out as a pass rusher that you have to prepare for?
I would say just his explosiveness, how he uses his hands, his footwork. And, you know, I think, you know, I've only been here league 2 years, but from when I played him the first time, week three, just like how he adjusts fast against, you know, a divisional opponent the second time to make more plays, and I kind of jumped out on film for me. So, you know, and I think he does a good job. Even when he doesn't make the play, you know, he's taking two, he's taking on double teams in a run game, you know, doing things to free up his backers and things like that. So I think Trayvon Walker is a good player as well, and he kind of does the same thing. So, you know, he's explosive, great with his hands, and really just has a mentality that, like, he's not going to stop. As a really good motor.
Last two, Sam. You talked about post game about can't live on third and long through the Vikings game. Just what are the keys to getting this offense kind of moving on first and second down and putting yourself in a good position for third down conversions?
Just execute. Yep, just execute. And pretty much that's it. You know, just got to be better on first and second down. Kind of said it yourself. So, yep, we're working on it.
Last one, DJ.
Looks like the Jags play a lot of man coverage. Got some stats like 50%. How much confidence does it give you knowing that you have guys that are really, really good against man coverage? You're obviously really good against man coverage. How much confidence do you guys have going if they obviously were to go a bunch of man against you guys?
We're confident in everything, you know, like zone and man and fire zone. And, you know, we've kind of seen it all this year, especially playing against a team that's kind of does what they like, what they're going to do week one, week two with Gus and the Colts, and then week two and then week three against Minnesota. They kind of do everything. So I think we've gotten a good rapport of just like defenses playing is different. But, you know, we've more so got zone. So, you know, we're willing to play anything. We whatever it is, we got to just find a way to win. So, nice, you guys. Have a good one.
All right, that's quarterback C.J. Stroud. A lot there, I'm certain probably a lot that did Clint in, as he talked about. I think one of the things that stuck out to me was him talking about we got to hold everybody accountable. And there are a couple of people that it feels like you wonder if they are being held accountable, and he came out there and kind of spoke as a leader of the team. But we'll dive into what CJ had to say, and also a bit of what CJ's talking about, man. This passing game, Clint, it is something that we thought could be one of the best in the league, and it has not gotten off the blocks yet. Not in the way that we thought. There have been some things here and there, but what's going on with this passing game? We'll discuss.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Live from Pitch 25, thanks to Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. It's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right, as we are live here in Edo, Pitch 25. Come on out, have a good time. There is prizes. You can win two $50 gift cards to Specs. There is tastings. There is great Sagamore rye whiskey that you can partake in. Specialty drinks. You can hang with us, and you can watch the finish of this Astros game. As the current update, they're up. They're trailing 6-1, and Hector Neris is in the game against Julio Rodriguez. If you remember, that was when Hector lost his mind for about 5 or 7 seconds last year and just charged Julio Rodriguez in an at-bat they had last year in Seattle.
What is going on?
That went odd. That matchup, that'll be interesting to watch. That's coming. But come on, hang out here. The great food I has had. Shout out to the bartenders. They will hook you up. She told me, go with the mahi tacos. And I was like, Had a little spicy, little sauce on it. It was good, and the wings, as always, delicious. So great food, great drinks. Come on out and hang out with us here. All right, Clint, this is something to me that there's a lot of things that are a few things that are surprising early with the Texans, both good and bad, but. One of the things that's surprising to me is it seems like the passing game hasn't quite gotten to an area where we thought it would be, right? We're looking and we saw what he was able to do last year, and hell, it was at times he didn't even have Noah Brown. At times, they were doing it where, you know, we know
we know that John Metchie is in a much better place than he was last year. He was having to play as the third receiver in playoff games last year. So we know that the talent is better with Diggs, and these guys are better a year removed from last year. CJ is better, another year in the league. We feel like the offensive line is more healthy and should be better. Bobby Slowick knows the league and knows his players better. It is really surprising to see that the Texans' passing game isn't going the way we thought it would. That's something they've got to definitely fix here soon, because that was supposed to be, I think, arguably the strength of the team.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that you feel like as a Texans fan you could really lean into is their ability to throw the football. C.J. Stroud, you add another weapon, so the ability to throw the football at that point, right? That's the one thing you're confident in if you're a Texans fan when you come into the season. Clearly, that's not been the case. And now, look, I think you face two of the best, the top defenses in the league in Chicago and Minnesota, definitely two of the best right now. We'll see if that lasts for 17 weeks. And the inability to protect the quarterback is the one thing that is going – it don't matter how explosive you are. It's the one thing that can slow down or put a cap on a really explosive offense, pass game offense, pass first offense, is if you can't protect the quarterback. And they have really struggled protecting the quarterback of late. And so they got to get it right up front. And, you know, look, the penalties were a big, big problem last week as well. You get in third down, third and long situations. Obviously, it's going to be tough. So they got to get the protection right first and foremost. I'd love to be able to run the football. I'd love to be able to get three wide receivers, explosive wide receivers involved, and get those guys as many touches as they all want. I'd love to have all that stuff. I'd love to get Dalton Schultz going the way that he was last year. But right now, what they need to do is learn how to protect the quarterback. And it starts with Bobby Slowick. We haven't talked enough about how bad Bobby Slowick was last week. Mm. I mean, if we're going to be completely honest, it is criminal what Bobby Slowick did last week versus the Minnesota Vikings.
Dang it, Bobby.
And it is.
Especially
it is,
to a standard that he has set.
Well, I mean, look, if it wasn't Bobby Slowick, I'd be talking about that's fireable offense.
Yeah.
I mean, Bobby Slowick has been tremendous, and I mean, he's going to get a head coach gig based on what his offensive mind. So nobody in their right mind that knows the game is going, Bobby Slowick ain't worth a damn. But at the end of the day, what Bobby Slowick did last week, just like what Laremy Tunsil did last week, if they weren't so good at their job, it would be a fireable offense. So I'm just going to use the term criminal. Like, it was unacceptable. It was unacceptable for an offensive coordinator of Bobby Slowick's ilk, and I'm just talking about the year that he showed us last year, to go out there and have tight ends, one that is not known for pass protecting and one that ain't been playing the position no longer than 2-3 years and is a rookie, to have those guys consistently be responsible for edge rushers in the NFL, and an edge rusher that you watched over here kick ass last year that was in your locker room, that's unacceptable. So it starts with Bobby Slowick. He's got to be significantly better.
And that was a part of their passing game struggling last week. I think for me the biggest thing is when you watch it, and listen, I don't have the numbers in front of me. When you watch it, it appears that the bulk of their success in the pass game has come when it's off script and off schedule. Seems like the bulk of Nico Collins's yards have come off schedule, and him having to roll out and move around and run.
Or like him throwing up into a double coverage that he never should have threw it.
It just, like last year, I think you said it yesterday. Last year was just like, bam. I mean,
it was a work of art.
Bam. Yeah. And hopefully that is something we can see this week and moving forward, that they have more success in the passing game within the structure and not outside of the structure. Listen, I love outside of the structure. I think outside of the structure shows greatness. We see that with Mahomes and Josh Allen, and we see it with CJ. That is the difference between being a great player, and you don't want to coach that out of anybody, saying, hey, stay with the, you know, you've got that card, do that. But it shouldn't, as you would say, shouldn't be how you live.
Shouldn't live there.
And they have, it seems like for them to get yards in the passing game, it has got to be
CJ being flushed out, yeah, running over, and making some amazing play that eventually Clint is going to lead into turnovers.
Ron, it's the most frustrating thing in the sports talk world for me is, you know, a lot of folks, because the Texans are 2-1, and because CJ Stroud, if you look at the box scores, has put up decent numbers, you would look at it and you'd say, oh, we're good. Everything's fine. Everything. Now, obviously, last week we're not, right? But just generally speaking, you'd look at the box score.
He's in a 260s game, yeah, 1-230
game.
Yeah,
everything's good. And in reality, to the point you make, like, you cannot live that way. You just simply cannot live that way. And that's not championship caliber football. That's not that playing that brand of football. The Texans aren't going to make a run in the playoffs, period.
Yeah.
And so they've just got to get better. They got to get back to more of what we saw of this offense last year, and it's got to happen fast.
Yeah, you expect to see that because you expected fireworks, right? It's fireworks out here, man. You got these three dudes.
I think,
they were saying five-headed monster.
I think you expect that when you start looking at the weapons, Ron. But if we're being honest, like based off what you watched the Texans do last week or last year, you'll take what the CJ keeps calling boring and easy. Like that's really what I expected to see more. That was so convincing last year that you got to sit there and go, damn, they made that look easy for 90% of the games. They made that look easy. So, I mean, Bob, as long as they keep Bobby and Gerard and CJ together, we're going to at least get that. I mean, we hadn't even seen that.
Somebody text in, CJ's got to stop rolling out and take what's in the pocket and let it go. I think there's some mixture there. Now, some of the times I think CJ is rolling out because CJ got to roll out. But some of it, there is a thought to me that CJ is holding it to try to get a bigger play.
Piece of positivity.
I think there's several things at play here, but what you've got to do is you've got to clean the slate and just go back to your line of thinking last year, right? I mean, I think there has been a theme in this training camp, which means it's been preached into their head. It's in the play calling. It's in the quarterback's mind. It's in the receiver's mind, is that being aggressive and being able to push the football down the field. That's at play. I think defenses have adjusted to CJ and Bobby Slowick. There's a lot of times, man, there just ain't nobody open, where last year there was guys running butt naked. So I think defenses have adjusted. All of those things are happening, and the protection's not as good. And so they got to clean the slate, go back to the drawing board, and say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to call plays as if we have a couple of offensive linemen injured and we know we got to get the ball out quick. We're going to move Nico around like we did in a couple of games last year when everybody else was hurt, and make sure we get him touches early in the game. Don't let the defense dictate that. I don't care if there was a penalty on the second play of the game and that one was to Nico. You can't go until 5 minutes left in the second quarter to get him another touch. Yeah. Like, go back to that line of thinking instead of approaching it as, man, we got the most explosive guys in the league. Man, we got to push this ball down the field. And now you stand up, you sit up here, and now you're getting pressured as much as anybody in the league.
Coming up in the next hour, your chance to win a $50 gift card to Specs. All you got to do is sign your name. We see people putting their names in that raffle box. By the way, Tyler, I thought you were being a bit unreasonable and really too hard on Shea, but this is getting out of hand. Clint, he's got his fourth error.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, Shea should be
mad at
should be mad at Bregman.
I think it's about time for somebody to go get him.
He should be pissed off.
I think
he's gonna mess around. He's gonna mess around and miss out on the last couple of paychecks this season.
I'm telling you, he may not pick up on a team next year. They may need to slide Kessinger over there to third.
They need to get his travel plans together quick.
Get his travel plans together.
Now, listen, man, I tried to defend you at three, man. I can't get you at four. You can't have two. Four damn errors. This is clear. Like, I mean, this is like somebody just airballing free throws. Airball and free throws is just, they just can't get it going.
I mean, we got to be approaching like a record, right?
Like, I mean, he's only got one more inning to go. No, he doesn't. It's over. Now he's done. It's he can't commit, I don't think, unless the Astros come back and tie this. He can't commit any more errors, but four errors at third base?
I'm going to do further research, dude, but I just did a quick Google. and it tells me Tommy John committing three errors in one game in 1988 is the current record. So if that's true, Shea Whitcomb and the Astros just
blown
set a record.
Blown through that thing.
Wow.
Man, what is...
You won the West. Now go play the field like a bunch of little leaguers.
Clearly, listen, if there was an outside chance that Shea was going to make this roster for the postseason,
it's dead.
Know, pinch hit guy, oh, that's dead. They're looking at a litmus Diaz before they bring
him. Oh, it's dead, cremated, wow, buried.
Man, four errors? He didn't play the whole nine. He can't.
No, at one point he had three and four innings of play.
He came in and missed the first two. God, man, he has got to be the loneliest person in Houston.
Shay.
Could you imagine if you were his dad? Like, you're going through the runs of emotion. At first, you're like, damn, son, all right. It's all right, man. Keep you up. Now, at some point after about two or three, you're pissed. Come on now, damn, dog. Like, I mean, what's that, man?
Yeah, you just got
what?
Hey, keep your chin up, son.
I guess so. All right, what you got coming up at the four?
Well, I got what I asked for. Biggest talking point last week after the Texans-Vikings game was penalties. All I wanted them to do was acknowledge it, boys. I got what I asked for. D'Amico Ryan spoke on the topic, and if I didn't know no better, I think he listened to the show, Ron. I'll give that audio to you next.